God has stubborn kids, just like some of us. But today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley says he leads with love.
So as you begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, and even if you are stubborn and slow to yield to Him, God has beautiful ways of leading us and guiding us and wooing us. He won't force you to do anything, but He has a way of awakening your conscience and drawing you to Him.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. From our human perspective, you have to wonder if God ever regrets giving humans a will of their own. It sure seems like we can be a handful. But today, Pastor Ray shows us how God is continually transforming us into the people He wants us to be, where His desires become our desires. Let's learn more.
The title of the message is koinonia. Koinonia is a Greek word, and it really is hard to define. There is no one English word that is the equivalent. It means to have in common, means to share, but it means also more than that. It is literally where you come to the place where you not only on a head level know that, okay, these are all Christians, you are all my brothers and sisters in Christ, I am your brother, and you know that as kind of a doctrinal truth that you've heard at some time in church. But it goes beyond just the head, and it goes down into the heart, where I start actually treating you like my brother, treating you like my sister, and vice versa. And I start caring about what you think and what you feel and what's going on in your life on a heart level, combining the head and the heart together. And that's where Paul is now sharing. And in the midst of this, what is so beautiful is, beginning in verse 5, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul, in this personal letter, gives us one of the most beautiful passages on the mind of Jesus, and not just the mind of Jesus, but the attitude of Jesus, the heart of Jesus. And he says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." You see, he is saying, be like Jesus. You want to become like him, for you have been born into his royal family. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Following Jesus is a very unique path. In order to find yourself, because before we come to Jesus, we're lost. In order to find my true self, the man that God originally designed and wanted me to be, it means following the path of Jesus upon the cross. And that picture of Jesus on the cross is one of not my will, but thy will being done. And so there is a certain part of me that in order to follow Jesus is going to have to die to self. The world's all about empowering yourself, you know, fulfilling yourself, coming into the place where you are self-actualized. So it's a very obviously different message to follow that example of denying yourself and then following Jesus. But then in verse 9, "Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In other words, following the path of Jesus is the real way of being lifted up. It's ironic, as you humble yourself, God raises you up and God will lift you up. So in verse 12, he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Now, salvation is a gift. It's given to you the moment you believe and trust that Jesus is your Savior, that he died upon the cross for your sins. But once having been given that salvation, you actually also grow in salvation. It's a process. It doesn't happen immediately that you become very spiritual. In fact, you start off as a baby, and you need to grow, and you need to walk in the Lord. So work it out with fear and trembling. Then he says in verse 13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure." I like how the New Living Translation has Philippians 2:13. It's in your notes. "For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him." That's Christianity. From the inside out, it is not you should be like this. Therefore, go, memorize the rules, and even though you don't want to, and even though you don't like it, you still follow the rules. You should be following the rules. And so then you go, no, that's old covenant. God said, "I'm going to make a new covenant. The new covenant, I'm going to change you from the inside out. I will write my will upon the tablets of your heart." In other words, and this is the beauty of the new covenant, God says, "I'll make my desires your desires. I will communicate to you from the inside so that you want what I want, and then once you want what I want, I will give you the power to do the very things that now your heart wants to do." It's one of the most beautiful things. In fact, all of us invariably find the weakness of our flesh. And then when you want to change, you cannot change in your own strength and in your own power. And then the Lord Jesus comes and he changes you from the inside, changes your heart, changes your desires, changes your understanding and the direction of your life and empowers you to walk so that you're not enslaved anymore, that you're absolutely free from the inside out. It's a wonderful thing. And I have found and I have discovered how exciting it is that God begins within my own heart. And then he leads me and he guides me. I had an unusual experience this last week, and I needed to get a haircut, and so I was on my way, and the thought came to me, because, you know, with jet lag, you kind of forget a little bit, and then it was like, oh, you've got to go, you've got an appointment at 4:30, and so you've got to go right now. And so at that time, I'm making my way, and I finally get there. There's, you know, a lot of traffic, and so I walk in, and the lady who does, you know, my haircut, she looks at me and she goes, "Pastor Ray." I said, "Yes." She goes, "What are you doing here?" I said, I look around. I said, don't they cut hair here? I'm here to get my hair cut. And she goes, "Yes, I know, but you're not supposed to be here today." I said, "Yes, I am. Today is Thursday and I have it, you know." And she goes, "No, your appointment is for Friday." I said, "No, I know that it was for Thursday." She goes, "Well, it is Thursday, and I've got this lady that I'm working on." So all of a sudden, I realized, okay, I have made it, but I knew that I'd made an appointment, and it was on Thursday, and that I was to be there and everything else. And so anyway, I was like, "Oh, well, Lord, you know, whatever." And so she comes up to me, and she goes, wait a second. And she runs up to me and so leaves, you know, the poor lady that's there with a little, you know, shawl around her, hair wet and wild. And then she says, "Pastor Ray," she goes, "see the lady that's over there?" I said, "Yeah." "Her husband just died last night." I said, "He did?" She goes, "Yeah." And I said, "He died last night?" She goes, "Yeah." And I said, "She's getting your hair done now?" And she said, "Well, she's kind of in shock. She doesn't know what to do, and she had an appointment, so she came in and she's talking to me. Let me go ask if she would like you to, you know, pray." with her. And so I went, okay. So she walks down, and I didn't hear Boston, you know, what she was saying, but the lady goes, yes! So anyway, then I walked over, and we walked into the room, little room that they have for their kids and stuff, and so just started to share and listen to her and tell her story, and she hadn't been able to cry. She hadn't, I mean, she was already planning. She had family coming in, and she was getting her hair done, and her husband had died the night before. It was just kind of weird. So I just listened, and then I said, I would like to pray with you. And I said, you know, it's an interesting thing. I said, you know, the Lord sent me to you. He sent me here today. I thought that I had a haircut, but God had other plans in mind. And in my brain, if you had only known how it came so clear to me, get there now, you have an appointment. And I did have an appointment, but I had the Lord's appointment. And I realized, wow, Lord, you don't waste anything. You use everything in our lives. There's a purpose and there is a plan. And I began, you know, it's just another small example of how God speaks and communicates and works it in and then gives you the power to be able to perform what His will is. And as we began to pray, I saw this woman who was just frozen in, you know, how you get in a trauma and in fear. And I saw the Lord's gentleness just open her heart and like a fountain in a spring begin the grieving and the healing process. And it was a very amazingly anointed, Holy Spirit-filled, powerful, ministering time. You could just feel the Lord Jesus in a hair salon ministering. And, you know, that's when you begin to realize it's not just when I go to church and I sing and we open our Bibles, but it's literally I'm walking with God. Wherever I go, I am walking with God, and He is leading me, guiding me, directing me from within my heart. Wow. I wasn't going for that, but I'll take it. And by the way, how's my hair look? I did get it finally cut today. I'm just kidding. Okay, verse 14. Paul says, do all things. Now, this is a tough one. Pay attention to this one, verse 14. Paul says, do all things without complaining and without disputing, so that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, talking about when the Lord comes, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Now, that's kind of one thought, and it's a long one there, but it begins in verse 14. Paul says, now, do all things, since God Himself is at work in you, in your heart, and I want you all to hear and to know and to believe and to understand, I don't care if you are a brand new Christian. It doesn't matter how old you are. God is in you by your faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of the living God, the only true God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, dwells inside of you. And He is putting things in your heart, for the most part, that you don't even know, you don't even realize. And that's why, for one reason, even that you're in church, that you have a hunger for the things of the Spirit. And there was probably a time when you could be satisfied in the world and with a worldly, you know, lifestyle and worldly attitude and worldly pursuits, a worldly frame of mind. And then when you became a Christian, you were ruined. And there really is nothing more miserable than a genuinely, truly born-again son or daughter of the living God who, for whatever reason, tries to go back into the world. They're miserable. They can never enjoy with a clear conscience sin or the world or the flesh again. God just won't let it happen. Holy Spirit's in you. He loves you. And he, you know, so he dries it up. And the things that used to bring you pleasure will eventually not bring you pleasure, but pain. And God, because he loves you, allows that pain, because we generally don't change until enough pain is applied that we come to the conclusion, I don't think that I want to be in pain anymore. I think I'm going to go in a different direction, one that would release me from this pain and one that would restore the joy of salvation that I once had. And so we begin walking in a new path. And then all of a sudden you go, well, I better start reading the Bible. I better start praying. I better start going to church, figuring out what this means, this Holy Spirit that's inside of me that won't let me enjoy the world anymore. So as you begin to walk with the Lord and walk with the Holy Spirit, and even if you are stubborn and slow to yield to him, I guarantee you, God, he's bigger than you. That seems like an oversimplification, but you are very, very tiny, very, very small. And in a loving way, God has, he has beautiful ways of leading us and guiding us and wooing us. He won't force you to do anything, but he has a way of awakening your conscience and drawing you to him. So as you begin to walk with the Lord, there is a lot of complaining that goes along with being a child of God. Paul now says, do all things without complaining. I have to confess to you that I don't always succeed in following this exhortation. I still complain. It seems to be part of the human condition to complain about things. Even if you have known the Lord for a long time, even if you've walked with him, even if you've had your devotions regularly, even if you've been used to, you know, minister or witness to other people. To do all things at all times without complaining, it's the goal. But may I say, it's something that God is still having to work on in my life. For me personally, it's tough. God will speak to my heart, you know, and I'm doing something and I'm complaining. Why do I have to do this? I don't want to do this. You know, so then the Lord says, well, why are you doing it? I'm doing it for you, Lord. He goes, really? He goes, I'd rather you not. Because I don't like it when you have that attitude and you say you're doing, you know, this for me. Don't do it. And of course, then when you realize, oh man, I'm supposedly living my life and doing this for the Lord, and I've got all of this complaining, sorry, Lord, sorry. He says, okay, now carry on. You know, the same thing, like imagine with little children, you know, they complain a lot, don't they? They're very free and open about their feelings about they don't like this sandwich, they don't want to do this, they don't want to go to bed, and they complain. And as, you know, as parents or grandparents, you can't love them enough. Even in their complaining, they're cute. But there is a point at which they're complaining, even as much as you love them, you go, okay, now it's time to stop. Just stop complaining. I got it. You don't like it. You don't want to do it. Tough. I love you. It's time for bed. You have to eat 3 more pieces of corn, or whatever it is that you're trying to share with them. And it is something that, let me just say this then, that it's, to not complain is not natural in these bodies of fallen flesh. It is something that is learned. You don't just all of a sudden, now I'm a Christian, so I will never complain again. That's like holding your breath. You will. But you can learn to complain less, or to catch yourself going, there I go again. Oh, this must be a fun day for you, Father, watching me. Sorry. And you know, the kids have a way too, when they do kind of, kids know how far to push. They're like little miniature psychologists. They just win you, and they can weasel things out of you. But they also know when there's, okay, now they're serious. Now the line has been drawn. Now, you know, it's like danger, danger. And they learn. They learn by us teaching them. So also your Father loves you. He's patient with you. Look how much complaining there was with Israel. And he put up with it up to a point. And then he said, hey, you know what? Okay, now it's time to knock it off. Because you've seen my miracles. You know that I'm going to be faithful. You know that there's nothing I wouldn't do. I'll bring fire, pillars of fire. I'll bring clouds to kind of cool you off in the day here in the wilderness. I'll bring bread down from heaven. I've delivered you with a mighty, powerful hand. And every time there's a new circumstance that comes up, you complain like, oh no, he doesn't love us and nothing's going to happen. And God's like, hey, I've shown you enough. You know that you can trust me. So he kind of calls them through Moses to the carpet and says, it's time to grow up a little bit, guys. Time to trust in me. Here's an opportunity. That's what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi. Catch yourselves. Stop, you know, continuously bickering and complaining. It hurts you more than anybody else. Grow up a little bit. Stop complaining and stop all your arguing with one another so that you can become blameless and harmless. In other words, again, this is a growing process where you are less and less blameless for your attitudes and harmless because a bitter heart is harmful. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, the world will attack, in essence, test is maybe a better word, test Christians. They find out you become a Christian, boom, they're going to test you. All right, Miss Holy Roller, let's see how you deal with constant barrage of little innuendos and little attack and the holy rollers and, oh, we don't want to upset, church lady or whatever. And but you know what they are also doing? On one level, they're, you know, being weird. But on another level, they're wondering if there's any reality, if there's any validity, if there's any sincerity, if there is any genuineness, if there's anything to this that you claim. And they will be drawn to you. They will be drawn to those who actually have some light inside of them.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with good insight about walking in the light as children of God. And Pastor Ray will have more from this study next time. But if you'd like a permanent copy of the full message, contact us and mention the title, Koinonia. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, the title, Koinonia. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Philippians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Philippians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.